Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Ranked number one in innovation for 10 consecutive years, and number two among public universities for employability, ASU isn't just ahead of the curve, it's creating new paths to success. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university. Online, that's a degree better. Explore more than 300 undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Looking for a place to go watch the Cavaliers play Washington tomorrow night? Why not Roosters? Fabulous wings. I've tried every one of their sauces. They're all delicious. TVs everywhere. Ice cold drinks. Perfect place to watch the best team in the NBA, your Cleveland Cavaliers, play Washington tomorrow night. The Cavs will put their 21-4 record on the line at home against the Wizards. And to talk about the best team in the NBA, let's go to one of the best beat reporters in the entire NBA, HoopsWire.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. He is Sam Amico. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing well, Kenny. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Thanks for making time for us. And I don't think the Cavs are getting enough love, Sam. I really don't, nationally and even locally. I don't think they're getting the respect and the headlines that they deserve at 21-4. I'm just curious, do you feel the same way I do, or no? Do you think they're starting to get the necessary, pat on the back or credit that they deserve?
I'm with you all the way, Kenny. I, you know, some things I guess aren't a surprise. You know, the national media isn't going to give the Cavs love no matter what happens, because it's just not in their wheelhouse when it comes to things they want to talk about. But locally, I'm a little disappointed. Thought there'd be a little bit more buzz. But, you know, sometimes when the local football team's a nightmare, that takes precedence. And they've certainly been a nightmare, and they've been a nightmare for way too long. But the reality is the people who appreciate good basketball and appreciate, you know, how the Cavs have really come back, not just from last season, but you factor in the time that LeBron's left, and now have the best record in the NBA through 25 games, you know, certainly deserve more love and more credit for what they've accomplished so far.
Yeah, Sam, it's crazy in our industry. Negative results with teams sell more, people talk more, it seems like, than the positive results. And that's, you're right, as long as four more weeks, and then it's over, finally, right? And then hopefully the Cavaliers will be front and center for everybody in Cleveland if they're able to maintain this level of play. And that's my next question to you. 21-4 is pretty impressive. That's 840 basketball. I didn't expect them, you know, to maybe play 750 basketball this year, Sam. So where are you as far as, you know, them being able to maintain something close to this level of play?
You know, I look, you just got to keep doing what you're doing offensively, which is you're not just moving the basketball, but you're incredibly hard to guard regardless of who's on the court because of this offense that Kenny Atkinson has instituted. An offense, by the way, that's so complex that the first 2 weeks of training camp, Jared Allen said he looks back at it and was like, I had no idea what we were doing or what I was supposed to do. So, you know, and Darius Garland just came out and said, I didn't like it because I couldn't figure out what was going on. And here I am, the guy running the offense. Well, now everybody's comfortable. It's really humming. You don't really see a night where the Cavs, you're like, boy, that's a bad game offensively, or as you like to call it, Kenny, the stanky leg. You know, we haven't seen any of that, right? It's sometimes the shots aren't dropping, which is rare, but, you know, more often than not, when they lose a game, it's because of the defensive end. And, you know, that's where they've had some struggles and where they've had to make some adjustments. But I think, yes, to answer your question, this is sustainable, provided you continue to run the offense as it's been designed, and you shore up that defense a little bit. If they continue to do that, run the offense as designed and as well as they've been running it, and shore up the defense, you know, it's very early, Kenny, but they're a true championship contender if those things continue.
Sam, here are my concerns, twofold, all right? Number one, that because the offense has been so good, and you know this, playing basketball, we didn't reach that level, right? But, hey, if you played basketball, offense is a hell of a lot more fun than defense, right? Okay, we'll just outscore them. And the defense might take a hit, and I think we've seen a little bit of that maybe in the last eight games or so. What has to happen where they continue to do the offensive principles, but they don't lose the defensive principles that were built by the former coach, J.B. Bickerstaff?
Yeah, that's vital, you know, and Kenny, you hit the nail on the head, because if you look at their games against the Atlanta Hawks, those two losses, it was pretty evident the Cavs just kind of thought, yeah, we'll just outscore them eventually. Now, you know, in their defense, Atlanta's playing out of this world all of a sudden. But, you know, that was an example where it looked like they were going to try to outscore them. Same thing happened against Boston in Cleveland that Sunday night game. Well, Kenny Atkinson, you know, basically called timeout and said, look, this isn't going to be the way we're going to beat these guys. We're going to have to shut them down and make their lives miserable defensively. That's how we have to do it. The promising thing about the Cavs is they do realize, hey, you know, with the ball humming and the shots coming and the shooting percentages being great, we're all scoring lots of points. They are starting to realize, and it seems like probably about four or five games ago, you know, we've got to lock in at the other end and start limiting these three-pointers. And, you know, one thing Donovan Mitchell said, too, is, look, we're playing this zone, this 2-3 zone, and be honest, we're still getting used to it. And he said, we're going to take some lumps, whether that's a game or just a couple quarters. We're still getting used to it. And he said, you know what? You know what matters? And he hit the nail on the head. All that matters, we have it mastered by April. We got to get it mastered. So they do realize and recognize some of those things. But, yeah, that's, if there's an Achilles heel, it would be the defense on the three-point line.
Sam Amico is our guest, HoopsWire.com, NBA beat reporter. Follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. And Sam, before we go further, share with our listeners, too, that maybe don't know about your becoming a TV star once again, covering the Cavaliers. Tell them what's going on there.
Well, I'm with a couple of TV stars. I'm with Boobie Gibson. So that show is Full Court Cleveland, and that's on the FanDuel Sports Network, which broadcasts, of course, the Cavaliers. Most of the Cavaliers games, and it's usually on after the post-game Cavaliers live show. And we just taped another one this morning. I'm surprised I still have a voice, Kenny, because it's an hour long. And then we, you know, of course, obviously you can follow me on Twitter or X at Amico Hoops, as well as my website, hoopswire.com.
All right, let's talk specifically about some player, Sam, with this current Cavaliers basketball team. And I'll get to some of the starters and the stars. But I was wondering, all right, can not only the Cavs maintain this level, can a guy that last year we poked fun at, right? You know, we looked at him last year, and, you know, we're saying, oh, boy, I feel bad for this guy. You know what? He was brought here. You know, he's somebody that, you know, they told us, oh, we were lucky to get this guy, and if he can get back healthy, he's going to, you know, provide us with that backup point guard that we haven't had since Ricky Rubio decided to retire. And, of course, I'm talking about Ty Jerome, Sam. I'm looking at his numbers right now. In less than 20 minutes a game, he's averaging 11 points and 3.5 assists and shooting the lights out. Is that sustainable for 82 games from Ty Jerome?
You would like to think so. Look, he got off to a blazing start, right? And then all of a sudden, there was a few games in there where, you know, 2, 4, 6 points, not a lot of minutes, not a lot of contribution. And then I thought he played extremely well against Miami, even though the Cavs lost that game on Sunday. Because, you know, when you look at 3 or 4 games there, what happened there, that's when other teams started adding him to the scouting report. And it's right. Like, okay, we got to get him figured out a little bit because this guy's really going to hurt you. The fact that he bounced back and had a nice game in Miami, knowing that, kind of tells you that Ty Jerome has figured out, yeah, they're not going to just throw one defender at me. They're going to throw two at me. Now I've got to adjust. Kenny Atkinson has adjusted. So I would think that, yeah, he could have, look, he's a backup point guard, so nobody expects him to have these amazing games night after night after night. These are why these guys come off the bench. It's because they generally don't do it super consistently. He's been pretty consistent in this offense. So you have every reason to believe that this is a guy who, yes, can continue to play the way he's playing. One thing you got to like about him is, much like Ricky Rubio, even though they have different styles of play, but like Ricky Rubio, he stays within himself and doesn't force anything and does a nice job of making sure his teammates are set up. So as long as he continues to do that, the Cavs are truly going to benefit from his presence.
I'm hopeful, Sam, that he becomes different type of player. So I'm not comparing their playing style, but I'm hopeful that he becomes the Cavaliers version of Sean Livingston for the Golden State Warriors during part of their championship runs. Sean Livingston was a difference maker against the second units, and you could still play him if you needed to against the first team, right, for some minutes. And I think he's underrated when you look back at those Warriors championship teams, and I'm hopeful that, you know, Ty Jerome can be that guy for the Cavaliers.
Well, if you look at these Cavs, very much set up like the Golden State Warriors team,
yep,
in terms of their offense, in terms of their philosophy and approach. Kenny Atkinson, of course, spent three seasons under Steve Kerr, and you can see all these things that are very similar to that Warriors dynasty in terms of style of play. I mean, Evan Mobley's their Draymond Green. He gets rebounds off the defensive glass and dribbles the ball up the court, sets up the offense just like Draymond Green. Now, he's not as good as Draymond is at it right now, but Kenny Atkinson said, that's fine. I want him to keep doing it. The only way to get better is keep doing it. He doesn't need to be great at it now. He needs to be great at it towards the end of the season. And you get somebody like Ty Jerome playing that Sean Livingston-type role. And you're right, Kenny. He was a very, very underrated pain in the calf's neck when, yep, they would play in those finals series. So, yeah, if you can have a Ty Jerome type of playing that type of Sean Livingston role, and, you know, somebody else playing an Andre Iguodala role, you know, and George Niang playing a role of somebody who was coming off the Warriors bench then and knocking down shots when you least expect it. That's what this is all built to be. It's you know, they're kind of blueprinting or copying that Golden State style with Kenny Atkins.
Sam, you mentioned the other guy I wanted to get your input on. He's hurt right now. How badly, we don't know. We'll find out if he plays tomorrow night. If not, I wouldn't play him. I'd wait till Monday to play him on the road at Brooklyn. But Evan Mobley, we saw him drop a career-high 41, then he sprains his ankle the next game. But in that 41-point game, Sam, six threes, you mentioned, handling the ball, initiating the offense. And this is one of the reasons why they brought Kenny Atkinson in, is it not? I mean, because they didn't feel JB was developing him enough?
Yeah, well, I think that's a big part of it. Yes, they wanted somebody that they believed could get Evan Mobley to another level offense. Defensively, already elite. Offensively, should be elite. Why isn't he? Kenny Atkinson answered that question properly and with confidence. And the Cavs had confidence in him. And he said, here's what I'm going to do with the guy. We're going to turn him into Draymond in many ways, you know, without the same personality, of course, but in style. And that was basically the answer they wanted to hear. He's going to be able to extend the floor, and we're going to keep pushing him and working with him until he does it. Well, fortunately, that progression has come along quickly, and it really makes Kenny Atkinson look like an absolute genius. But the other thing, too, Kenny, was Darius Garland. Can you get him back to an all-star, brink of an all-star type of point guard? Kenny Atkinson said, yeah, I believe we have two all-stars in the backcourt. So, you know, the fact that Mobley has really come along has been the biggest reason why I think people have said, yeah, this team, you know, this team's going to give Boston a run for money, and the Cavs believe they can beat Boston in a seven-game series. So, you know, there's a lot of confidence there, and there's a lot of positive results there. and obviously Evan Mobley being 1A when it comes to the poster child for that, and Darius Garland probably being 1B.
All right, Sam. So a lot of positive talk here from us today about this team not getting enough love and everything like that. Let's flip it and talk about the Celtics as the team, obviously, to beat. They're the defending champs. Everybody's looking up at them. And the Cavaliers so far are 1-1 in head-to-head games, although in the second game, two of their key players, Jaylen Brown and Derek White, did not play. And the area where I don't believe, as of now, the Cavaliers could beat Boston in a seven-game series, win four games, is their length. And I think Atlanta showed that that's the Cavaliers' weakness as well with the length that they have on the wings. Your thoughts on Boston, Atlanta, teams with length, how the Cavaliers match up to them against?
Yeah, and that's a definite problem, Mary, because that makes it a little more difficult to defend. Not just the three-point line, but, you know, the mid-range game. We saw Darius Garland against the Celtics having to match up with Jason Tatum because of, you know, Donovan Mitchell had to guard somebody else, whether it was, you know, Peyton Pritchard or one of those other guys. So that's kind of a trouble spot, you know, and I thought that kind of reared its head a little bit even last year defensively against the Orlando Magic, which is a very long, tall team when healthy. So, yeah, that's part of the concern. You know, the nice thing is if you do have Dean Wade, who, you know, has not been available in some of those games, even though he's not, you know, a lockdown defender, he's a pretty good defender, and his numbers – the Cavs' numbers improve immensely when he plays because he does give them that 6'9" small forward type who can go out in the wing and defend and accept the challenge. Without him, you know, they are. It's Garland and Mitchell who are both like 6'1", and then you have, you know, your small forward, if he's healthy, or is Max Strus or Isaac Okoro, who are 6'4". You know, that's just not tall enough in today's NBA to go out and really shut down an opposing 6'8" wing with athleticism like a Tatum or a Jaylen Brown. And like you said, some of those guys on the Hawks with Jalen Johnson and Risa Shea and DeAndre Hunter, those are tough matchups. So, you know, you've got to figure that out. I think that's part of the reason, wisely so, that Kenny Atkinson has instituted this zone. And it's like we don't have to match up one-on-one with the Jason Tatums of the world. So there's a lot, you know, that Kenny Atkinson's getting creative. And I'll tell you this, even though things are going very well, Kenny, they see the same things we do. And they're not just going to sit on their hands at the trade deadline. I don't think they're going to make a blockbuster. But they're not, you know, they know we need a little bit more length at that small forward spot in the event that some of our guys go down, as they did in the first game in Boston. Is it a huge priority where they're going to, you know, sell the house? No, but they see the same things we do, and I think they want to shore that up.
Sam, where are you on Caris LeVert? I have always, I guess, I like his game, but I don't see him as a difference maker in a series against the Celtics for more than one game because he's too inconsistent. Is he the contract? Is he the guy possibly they could use in trying to find somebody better than him at the three position near the trade deadline?
Yeah, he would be the guy, being given his contract situation, I would think. He or Okoro. Okoro has a friendly contract in terms of, even though he just signed one. I think that's where you look to if you're, you know, those are the guys that you would have to give up to try and get somebody who may fit the bill a little bit better when it comes to the type of wing you're looking for. You know, you got to give up something to get something. So, you know, as far as Caris LeVert goes, Kenny, he's there are times I watch him and your Caris LeVert thing will be running through my head over and over again. But there are times, you know, where he's just been, I think he's been better this season than last, more consistent than last. Okoro, I think, has been better than last. Not a ton, but enough. And, you know, so I think that those guys have played better and benefited very well because of this system. I will say this, Atkinson loves Caris LeVert and thinks his best is yet to come this year. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind when you're talking about potential trades. But right now, you know, the names that are available aren't a lot. I know the Cavs, the Nets were floating Dorian Finney-Smith for Isaac Okoro over the summer. And the, you know, the Cavs look at that and it's like, well, that's just mish for mash. Why make right. that trade? So I think that in order for them, the Cavs, to make a move involving an Okoro LeVert, it has to be a pretty clear improvement, because there's a lot to be said for the continuity and chemistry and unity of the locker room and on the court.
I was going to go right there. That's how good Sam Amico is. He's reading my mind already. What about the culture and the camaraderie and the love that these guys are showing each other on and off the court? Or is that real, or is that just a front for everybody?
Kenny, I've been doing this since 2007, been in the locker rooms during the LeBron era. It's very real. It's probably, you know, obviously going in the locker room, I just feel good. Like, these guys are having a great time, and they're for each other, and it's really, I hate to break out the cliches, but, you know, I haven't seen this before to this extent, where there's nothing but really positive vibes around them. Now, of course, you know, a big part of that is when you're 15-0, it's hard to have anything but positive vibes. And when you're 21-4, best record in the league. But I just sense something in these guys that it's a little different, that, you know, now that we're first in the NBA and record-wise, we don't want to give that up. But there's a lot of unity there. That, you know, I didn't see it during the LeBron era. Look, this team's not as good as those teams, but the unity and just the positive vibes are there. There's no drama, none of that stuff. So, and I've seen a huge, really tip of the cap to Darius Garland in terms of his maturity. And, you know, he's still having fun. He's a guy who likes to have fun and have a good time and joke around, but his maturity and leadership have really, really developed. The Cavs will tell you Tristan Thompson has a big hand in that. So, you know, that's not made up, Kenny. I haven't seen anything like this in the Cavs locker room since I've been covering them.
All right, last thing, and we'll let Sam Amico go. You can follow him on Twitter at Amico Hoops. Read him at hoopswire.com. Watch him on the FanDuel Sports Network, talking Cavs with Booby Gibson. Sam, as far as other teams not named the Boston Celtics, East, West, who has impressed you to this point that you think will be battling either for the Western Conference Championship or the Eastern Conference battle between the Cavs and the Celtics?
Well, in the East, I think, you know, the Knicks are going to eventually come around. They start to, then they have another setback, lost at home to Atlanta last night. I don't know what to make of the Hawks. I mean, they were 7-11. They've been amazing since, you know, and I think this Quinn Snyder putting Trae Young in kind of this, okay, stop trying to be Steph Curry and go be Steve Nash, that has just changed the whole dynamic of that team. And they you know, they're really, obviously it seems like they're peaking right now. But, you know, Celtics aside, the Knicks, the Bucks, the Miami Heat still are, even though all the Jimmy Butler trade rumors, those are the teams to me in the Eastern Conference. And I would not, when Orlando gets healthy, they are going to be very dangerous. To me, those are the teams that you really got to watch out for. The Western Conference, to me, Oklahoma City Thunder seem to be just, you know, we thought that race was going to be super tight. There's been some injuries and stuff out there. But to me, and the Thunder have had one to Chet Holmgren, haven't skipped a beat. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now through 25 games as your NBA MVP. And, you know, can that team get out of the West, young team like that, get out of the West already? They're certainly showing that very similar to the Cavs, super deep, super connected, and they've got a true blue star in Gilgeous-Alexander. So those are teams to me right now through 25 games that you're looking at thinking, well, you know, those teams have a real good shot to be there at the end with the Cavs.
Yeah, Sam, great stuff as always. I'm going to give you a name to keep an eye on. They stink right now, and they could be having a fire sale, and we know their GM pretty well, and David Griffin. Herbert Jones with the New Orleans Pelicans, Sam. 6'7", 205, small forward, 26 years old. I don't think he makes a ton of money. Might be something the Cavaliers are looking for at that wing position. So with all your connections out there, keep an eye on Herbert Jones, all right?
That sounds good. Good defender, too, Kenny. Appreciate you having me.
Always a pleasure. One of the best in the business. There he is, Sam Amico, checking in with us here on the Kenny and JT Show.